Joseph, we read about the Antichrist and the false prophet being thrown into the lake of fire. What does that mean? That there are people already burning in hell?
Well, according to the Bible, no. I know some people like made films, even like Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. You can see that on YouTube. And he had vision, he went to hell. The thing is that we're going to follow Bill Weiss or the Bible. It's like, now personally, I think the vision by Bill Weiss is correct. It's good.
Oh, you say it's not biblical. It's not correct. How can it be correct?
Well, the thing is that the Bible doesn't say that anybody's in hell right now. So Bill Weiss said he went and he saw people in hell.
But the Bible says there are no people in hell?
The Bible says that the judgment, when people are going to be thrown in hell, is going to happen after the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 15. Anybody not found written in the book of life shall be thrown in the lake of fire. Before that, there is no precedence, there is no mention, there is no scripture. So you have to come up with interpretation, which can be wrong.
When Jesus says... to the sheep to the right and the goats to the left, he says to the goats that the hell, something like the flames of hell are prepared for you already.
Yeah, go. He said, depart from me to everlasting fire,
yes.
Prepare for the devil and his angels. Well, Jesus doesn't give the chronologies and the timing when these guys are going to be thrown in the lake of fire. It does not. So the only chronology we find for people cast in the lake of fire is only Revelation 20, verse 15.
You mean it's going to be in the future?
In the future, yes.
What about Jesus gave the parable of Lazarus and the rich man?
Yes.
And the rich man was in hell, burning.
Yes, the rich man, the old King James, it says hell. However, if you go take a look in Luke chapter 16, where it talks about that.
Yes.
Look, we can just go there and read it. In Luke 16, Jesus talks about the poor man, Lazarus, the beggar. And Lazarus, he went to heaven. And the rich man, he went to hell. And you see here, verse 23, when the rich man died and was buried, in verse 23 it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments.
Okay, it says hell.
Yeah, it says hell, but that's just the old King James.
Okay.
You see, if you see my Bible here, I have also an old King James, but it's a very honest Bible. See, next to hell there is a little number here, you see?
Yeah,
little
four,
number reference,
yeah.
For. And then you go to the reference, what do you read?
Hades.
Hades. So that means that the original Greek, it didn't say hell, it said Hades. Now, Hades is not hell. Okay, Hades, it's a prison. It's a place where the people are kept in prison and waiting for the judgment after the millennium. You understand?
How do you know that?
By Revelation chapter 20, it says when the 1,000 years are expired, the people are going to be raised from the dead, that they will stand in front of the white throne judgment, and everyone not found written in the book of life shall be thrown in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15.
And what is hell then?
Hell, it depends. It depends on the Bible translation. Hell, people imagine as a lake of fire. However, some Bible write hell like the old King James, but actually the original Greek is Hades.
But is it one and the same thing, or is it two different
things? No, it's two different things. See, there is the Hades, which is the prison of the spirits of the dead, where they are kept in prison. And there is the lake of fire. That's something else. In fact, in Revelation 20, let me read it to you. They're very interesting here.
Sorry, there is a scripture that talks about the prison and the souls in prison.
Yes.
Is that Hades?
That's Hades, yes. That is in 1 Peter 3:19 and 1 Peter 4:6. You want to read that?
And it says Hades there?
I think it says Hades. Certainly it doesn't say lake of fire. You want to read?
1 Peter 3.
Yes.
Scripture 19.
Yes.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. What is this talking about?
He's talking about, well, read, keep reading 20, explains.
Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water.
Yeah, it means that the people who perished in the flood, and but not only them, were kept in prison in a spiritual prison. This is Hades, not the lake of fire. Also, the rich man, Luke 16, they went to the Hades. He didn't go to the lake of fire. He's kept in prison, so he cannot use his selfishness to damage anybody else anymore.
And in Hades, in this prison, they suffer, they burn?
I don't think they burn. I know in Luke 16 it says, I am burning in this flame, but that's kind of in parable, it's symbolic, because it says Hades, it's not lake of fire. See, and also if you read 1 Peter 4:6, we can read that too. It says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. You understand? So
this is a place where they are waiting for judgment?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Yes.
And is this what some people call as being purgatory?
Well, the word purgatory actually comes from an apocryphal book. The word purgatory is not in the Bible. So it depends how you interpret it. But this is not the Hades is not a place to be purged. It's just a place where people are in prison.
So they're only waiting, nothing else.
They're only waiting.
And Jesus goes and witnesses to them?
Jesus went to witness
because
to them.
Because that's wonderful.
Yeah, because that means that the people didn't have a chance here to accept the gospel. Then they will have a chance there. This does not mean, it does not refer to the people who rejected it.
Okay. And people who rejected it, what happens to them?
They go to the judgment. White throne judgment after the millennium, Revelation 20.
And until then, what happens to
their
souls?
Prison. They are in prison. Their souls are in prisons in Hades.
In Hades. But they don't get witnessed again, you say?
No, they already made the decision. It wouldn't make any difference.
No, it's very interesting that they have a chance to be witnessed after they die, because this is something you don't hear much.
You see, look, I'll read you a scripture here. In fact, you can go to 2 Thessalonians 2, you can go.
Okay.
You can read the scripture. It tells you what happens when people decide not to receive Christ. Automatically, the devil takes them over. It's a form of demon possession. Okay, you can read the 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God has sent them strong delusion. God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Okay. That they all might be damned who believe not in the truth. This word in Greek means both damned and also condemned and also judged. That's why Bible gives different translation. In any case, it's a scary destiny. People reject Jesus. They already automatically, as soon as they reject Jesus, they receive the lie from the devil. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So there is hope even after death.
Only for those who did not have a chance.
I know sometimes people ask me when I was witnessing that, oh, my father died or my relative died and they didn't really have a chance to choose to reject or receive the Savior, and they were worried what happens to them.
So certain areas, certain places, certain areas of the world, the Spirit of Christ is not very much present through Christianity and through the churches, because sometimes there are churches who are not worthy of such a name. Like, for example, the Church of Sardis, Revelation 3, verse 1, Jesus says, you have a name to be alive, but you are dead. So sometimes there are situations where the church is unworthy of such a name, and they don't present a real image of Christ, a real example of Christ, a real possibility for the people to be saved. They just present religion, religious building, formalism, and people don't want that. They think that God is like that. So they rejected. People who die like this, that they lived in a city where the churches were by sample and dead, like the Sardis, etc., and they die, they cannot be condemned to hell because they rejected the Christ which these dead churches were presenting. So they will see another chance in the next world. Because they didn't really see the love of Christ in action. They just saw dead sermons You know, kind of like when the Pharisees were preaching the truth of God, the people rejected it, that God doesn't condemn them to hell.
Right.
But it's Saint Jesus and Saint the disciple and the true church to show them the truth. But today, the true church of Christ is in the minority, and the majority of the church in the world is Laodicea, like a false church.
Right, but it's so beautiful to see the love of God doesn't forsake the humanity, and even afterlife, they still have a chance if they didn't before.
God gives them a chance. Yeah, because today many preachers, hell, fire, and damnation preachers, say it's either heaven or hell. Well, it's not like that. Not at all. It's either, you cannot miss, you don't miss heaven for a millimeter. It's like God gives you a whole lifetime to repent. And if you don't get saved because the church, they were just preaching a religion but not the love of Jesus, they were not showing, they were preaching but they were not showing it, so God will give the chance in the next world. To the people, they don't have a chance yet. And there's not just heaven and hell and nothing in between. There is something in between. Like the people are on their way through judgment that are not thrown to the lake of fire, where do they go? They go to the new earth, Revelation, the next chapter, Revelation 21 and 22, which we will study soon after this.
Okay. Now, concerning hell, you were saying there are no people burning in hell yet until after the judgment. So I have a question which I heard people talking before a lot, that while the people die, their spirit is sleeping until the judgment day. Like, I understand the people who are saved, they go to the Lord when they die. There are scriptures about it. But the people who you say that they already made a decision against Jesus and they rejected the Savior, where is their spirit going to be? What's going to happen to them until the judgment that they are going to go to hell? They don't go to hell now, you said.
No.
So what are they?
Because they're not judged yet. The judgment is after the millennium. The white throne judgment, we're going to read it now.
But because of their decision, they already put themselves under condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they until they are going
to
be thrown in?
They are in the Hades, in the spiritual prison, where Jesus went to preach. Understand? They preached to those, of course, who didn't have a chance. But the ones already rejected, even though they were there listening to Jesus preaching, they didn't listen. They wouldn't receive because they already rejected. And when they reject, they get possessed by the demonic spirit. They cannot choose anymore.
So the story of Lazarus and the rich man is just an example Jesus gives? It's not happening?
No, it's literal.
It's not happening in reality?
It's happening in reality because the guy went to Hades, to the spiritual prison. Didn't go to the lake of fire. It's in reality.
I understand.
Okay, why don't you read the Revelation 20,
okay,
from 11 until 15. It talks about the white throne judgment.
Revelation 20 from 11.
Yeah.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So you understand, it says here, death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Now, if you don't go to the Greek and analyze what this word hell means, you don't understand this.
Okay.
Because in the Greek, it means that death and Hades, in other words, a spiritual prison, are cast in the lake of fire. What's the lake of fire? Lake of fire is like a big fire to destroy whatever God doesn't need. It's like a delete click on the computer. So basically, the spiritual prison, God doesn't need it anymore. There will be nobody in prisons anymore,
mm-hmm,
spiritually. No souls in prisons anymore. Why? Because all the souls in prison, they get out of prison, go in front of God, they are judged. The ones who don't pass the judgment get thrown to the lake of fire, but the prisons are empty now. So the prisons, which is called hell, but in the Greek is Hades, is thrown to the lake of fire. So there is no Hades anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Also, death is cast to the lake of fire. What does that mean? It means that the curse that entered into the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve got deceived by the devil, and because they listened to the devil and disobeyed God, death entered into the world. Now, by the salvation of Christ, by the resurrection of Christ, by our receiving the Spirit of Christ, by receiving the resurrections, we live forever, and there is nobody who will die anymore because the devil is gone, is in the lake of fire. Anybody who need to die, they went to the lake of fire and died. So nobody's going to die anymore. So death is thrown to the lake of fire. That shows that death doesn't exist anymore.
Wow. And the lake of fire will start with the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're going
to
be
The Antichrist and the false prophets are in the Bible, as far as the scripture go. They are the only exception that they could throw in the lake of fire before. Why? Because they're already judged. Jesus said the prince of this world is already judged. The devil is already judged. He doesn't need to be judged. That's why the devil is thrown to the lake of fire in Revelation 20, verse 9 and 10. The devil is thrown to the lake of fire before the judgment. The devil doesn't need to be judged. We were also, can you read Revelation 20, verse
yes.
9 and 10?
Verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is a scripture, I don't know exactly where it says about the angels which are kept in chains. Where are those?
You can read it, Jude 1:6.
Jude. Okay.
Go ahead.
Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They're waiting for the judgment.
They're waiting for the judgment.
So they're in Hades.
They are in the... It doesn't say this in there.
It
says
prison. It says only on the chains in darkness, it says.
Yeah, that's a bottomless pit, basically. That's the same place where the devil...
What's the bottomless pit?
It's like it could be the center of the earth where there's no bottom. That's what the Bible calls it. It's in Revelation...
That's different than the lake of fire and Hades?
Yeah. That's
it's a third place?
That's another place, yeah. Yeah, it's another place where it talks about Revelation 20, verse 1 until 3, the devil is kept in prison in the bottomless pit, which in the Greek is abusos. It means a pit with a bottom. So... It's probably the center of the earth where, but we'll get back on that when we will study about the devil kept in prison. We will get back on that.
Okay.
So anyway, what do you want to ask about this? These angels, these are the angels rebelled and false Satan, and God kept them in prison. Understand?
Right, but they're not judged yet. They're waiting for judgment, right?
These ones, no. They're waiting for waiting for the judgment?
Yes, unto the judgment of the great day.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why Paul said to the Corinthians, don't you know we shall judge angels? First
mm-hmm.
Corinthians 5, 6, over there. And the devil and the Antichrist and false prophet are already judged, but apparently the others are not yet, so God knows how and what.
And this lake of fire, it says here, we read, I don't know exactly, where we read that the devil will be thrown in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Yeah, that Revelation 20, verse 10, no?
Yeah, this means it's going to be an endless, eternal torment, like suffering.
Well, I wanted to connect this with those people in verse 15. Can you read verse 15 too?
Revelation 20, 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
All right. And you can read also Revelation 14. You can read a couple of scriptures there from 9 until 13, probably verse 10 or 11. It talks about shall be tormented forever and ever.
Revelation 14.
10, over there it says tormented forever and ever.
Okay. I think 11.
Yeah.
And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark on his name.
Okay, so a lot of atheists are accusing Christians, accusing God, that God is merciless, cruel.
Cruel, yeah.
How can enjoy somebody burning, crying and yelling and screaming in the lake of fire?
Forever.
In fact, there are a lot of people who... They came up lately with the films on internet, YouTube, There are prophets everywhere, they're jumping up saying, I went to hell for 10 hours, 20 hours, 15 hours, and I saw people screaming. There were people asking God for forgiveness, and God said, no, sorry. They were asking Jesus, please, I repent, take me out of here. And Jesus said, no, you cannot save you anymore. So basically, they're depicting a picture of Jesus, which is simply not in the Bible. They're showing that there are people in hell who repent, but Jesus doesn't want to accept them because they passed the formalistic, the ritual schedule. You know, they go to church from 9 to 11 in the morning, Sunday morning, but you're right, at 11:05, the church is closed. Goodbye, sorry, next week. So a situation like that, you go to hell, you repent, you ask Jesus to save you and forgive you, but the Savior is not a Savior anymore. The merciful God is without mercy. A God of love is full of hate. A God of compassion or Christ is full of cruelty, who just watches people. And this prophet said they see Jesus crying tears because he sees people suffering. But he says, I'm sorry, I cannot save them anymore. So all these baloney is simply not in the Bible. These guys are just, they're not necessarily false prophets. They're just, it's just like in 2 Corinthians 11. It says, an angel of light, Satan, presents himself as an angel of light. Okay, like today you see a lot of saints appearing in the cloud, this saint and that saint, and holy this and holy that. They come and appear and they give prophecies, but it's like, hey, just a second. I believe in the saints. I believe in Holy Mary. I believe in the saints. I believe in everything. But you know what? It's like the one in the Bible. All this apparition is like 2 Corinthians 11. It says it can be the devil, an angel of light. The devil doesn't. The devil never appears with horns and forks and hooves. Like he was going to deceive. He appears like Jesus. He appears like Holy Mary, like Saint Joseph. He appears like that. So I believe that this guy that sees this vision of Jesus in hell refuses to save the people in hell who repent. It's simply, I don't see this in the Bible. In fact, if you go to Revelation 16, it says in Revelation 15 and 16, it talks about the people who have received the wrath of God. You see, verse 21 said, there fell, can I read 21?
16?
Yes, 16, 21.
And there fell upon man a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And man blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Understand? So it's like, I don't see this, guys, when God's wrath and judgment begins to fall on people. Read verse 9 also.
Verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory.
See, it's like when God's judgment, like a fire, or the wrath of God falls upon the wicked, they don't repent. They blaspheme God and they repent not. They curse God. Understand? So these people in hell were burning and say, oh, I repent. It doesn't go with the Bible.
Okay, I understand.
It's like, I believe that this vision that they see, they are real. They really see a Jesus. They really see a hell. But it's like it's a skit. It's a theater set up by the devil. It's a false vision by the angel of light. And these guys who swear by God that they saw this vision, I believe they saw it. But it was a vision from the devil. Why? Because it doesn't go with the Bible. There is nobody in hell burning repented. I tell you, my God, I don't know what God these guys are, but my God is love. And if you truly repented, I mean, he will save you. Understand? So that's it.
But concerning the scriptures that the damned soul are burning forever and ever in hell, there are scriptures about this, which say day and night and forever and ever.
Well, yes. In fact, I just found them for you.
Exactly. Like, we read it here.
So I made it easier for you. Also, shall I give you some more?
So look, it is an eternal hell then. And that's why people think God is cruel, because forever.
It is an eternal hell, an eternal fire. And Mark chapter 9,
okay.
They shall suffer in hell and burn in hell forever. Okay, but I want to give you an answer now, a biblical answer, which might surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you go to Mark 9, 43 and 44.
Mark 9, 43. And if your hand offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched.
Yeah, so Jesus is saying here, where the fire is not quenched, in other words, eternal fire, like it says in Revelation 14. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
But pay attention here what Jesus really says. You know, the words are important. It says in verse 44, their worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. It talks about worms.
Yeah, why does it?
You see, also in Revelation 14, it says they shall be tormented their night. They.
Okay.
You understand? What's they? It can be anything. It can be people. It can be chairs, it can be a table, it can be a tree, it can be anything. They shall be tormented. Now, I want to show you a scripture now, which might surprise you. If you go to Isaiah 66. Go to Isaiah 66. All right. It talks about the future, particularly about the millennium. Revelation 20, 21, 22 talks about new heaven and new earth. You see here. You want to read it?
Okay.
Verse 22 until the end.
Isaiah 66, 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says
okay.
the Lord.
Can you understand? Verse 22, it talks about the new heaven and new earth.
Okay.
When is that? Chronologically, that is Revelation 20:21. Okay? That is after the white throne judgment, after the lake of fire, after everybody that needed to be, every person that needed to be cast in the lake of fire was cast in. That's at the end of chapter 20. And it's only verse in chapter 21, after there is no anymore Hades, etc. Everything is wiped out, what needs to be wiped out. After there is new heaven, new Jerusalem, and new earth, correct? In Revelation. And here, Isaiah is talking about that period. In that time, pay attention, that time when there is a new heaven and new earth, all right, they shall come to worship me at the new moon. Okay, what is that? That is not the millennium. That is after the white throne judgment. It's during the new heaven and new earth. These are people going to believe in the new earth. Keep reading.
Verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the man that have transgressed against me.
Look upon what?
Upon the carcasses of the man that have transgressed against me.
Do you know what carcass is? If you go to the original Hebrew, it means a dead body. Carcass. I mean, this is a pretty good translation. What's a carcass? You know, a dog gets hit by a car,
it's
and the
that
carcass is laid there to rot.
Yeah.
Understand? A carcass is not alive. It's a dead thing. Understand? So read it again.
And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the man that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an appalling unto all flesh.
What does that remind you? Doesn't that remind you the words of Jesus that the worm doesn't die,
yeah.
the fire is not quenched? But he's talking about carcass.
The worms have to do with carcasses.
The worms, doesn't matter the worms. He's talking about people and souls here. Understand? The worms, they can go wherever they want. But it's like, he's talking that the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not, because the worms are just multiplied by eating on the carcass, whatever God is going to do.
Yeah.
That means there is carcass, that there are worms. But Jesus said the worm doesn't die, the fire is not quenched. But Jesus, okay, he didn't talk about what? He didn't talk about souls.
Yeah,
he didn't say the souls does not die. Jesus talked about worms. He talks about the fire. In Revelation 14, talks, they shall be tormented. They who? It can be people. It can be carcasses. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
They is nothing. It's a neutral thing. It can be a table, it can be a person, it can be a dead dog, a living dog. They can be living people or dead people. They shall be tormented. And Isaiah says carcasses. So if you put together, they shall be tormented, Revelation 14, verse 9, and the carcasses burn forever, but they do not consume. Remember the fire of Moses, the fire burned, the burning bush, but the bush did not consume.
Yes.
That's how the carcass is going to be. They burn, but they don't consume. Why? Because, like it says in verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses. Who's they? The people of verse 23. We are in Isaiah 66. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. Who are these guys? These are the people of the new earth. These are the people who escaped the white throat judgment.
One question is, in Isaiah 66, you're saying it says in the scriptures that it's the carcasses burning forever and ever. What are the souls then?
Well, the souls, you find them in Revelation 20, if you go.
Yes.
If you will go, please. And you find in 13 and 14, that's where you find the souls.
Revelation 20, 13 and 14.
This is the white throne judgment, okay? They are being judged right
okay.
now.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Okay, there are two deaths, understand? And read also verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Okay, these are the guys that resurrect before the millennium, first resurrections.
The first death also.
No, the first resurrection before the millennium is talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 6, Revelation 20, verse 6, is talking about the first resurrections, you know, understand? And blessed are they who are part of the first resurrection. On them has no power the second death. When is that? After the millennium, white throne judgment, and second death for the ones who are not written in the book of life.
Yeah, what does it mean, first death and second death? What is this?
Well, the first death is when we die in the flesh. Okay, you die in the flesh, and the soul goes to the Hades, a spiritual prison, if it's unsaved, or goes to Jesus, to New Jerusalem, to heaven, if it's saved. That's the first death. Because we are really three entities.
The
flesh.
Earthly life is finished. Your body is dying. That's the first death?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, we see. Now, these guys were in Hades. The flesh has already died. It's already dead.
Yes.
Okay.
And the second death?
Okay, just a second. So, being in the spiritual prison, what is really there? Just the soul. These guys were never born again.
Yes.
Okay, because born again, they would be in heaven. They wouldn't be in Hades. All right?
I got it, yes.
So there is only the soul left.
Mm-hmm.
So what can the second death kill since there is only the soul left?
The soul.
The soul.
I got it, yeah.
And that's why I'm saying that Isaiah 66, 20, what's it, verse 24, it says, the carcasses burn forever. Why? The soul was killed by the second death.
So it doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore.
So they don't actually suffer torment. They don't exist.
No, because, no, exactly not. They don't suffer torment.
Wow.
Understand? So the atheist point that God has enjoyed the suffering
right.
forever and ever, they imagine a God in heaven sitting on the throne, looking down, oh, those guys are screaming and yelling for 1,000,000 years. Oh, okay, that's okay. That's not the picture of God. God simply is going to kill them and goodbye.
Why is God keeping those carcasses forever and ever burning since there is no suffering, nobody feels anything? Can't he just annihilate everything and finish?
No. For the same reason we have the terrible, horrible stories of the mistakes of Israel in the Old Testament, for a lesson, so we don't make the same mistakes.
Ah, like a reminder for us.
There was a time, I don't know if they still do it in China, every time there was a car accident, somebody died, the communist Chinese would build a pedestal, and they would put the carcass of the car on the pedestal for everyone, to all the drivers, to see what happens if you drive too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So as a lesson.
I understand. Amen.
So there is only the soul that can die. There's nothing. Those guys were never born again. The first death is the flesh. They only have the soul left. Okay, and the soul was never born again in Christ. So what can the second death kill? Only the soul. So if the second the soul dies by the second death, what is going to be tormented forever and ever? The carcasses, Isaiah 66.
I understand. Last question. What about the devil?
By the way, one more PS here. I checked on the Bible. I went through the concordance, all right? It doesn't say anywhere, if you put together a conjugate, together soul and hell, ego fire, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere it says in the Bible that the soul is in hell,
mm-hmm.
in the ego fire. Understand? It doesn't exist. It's not what in hell. So those prophets who saw these souls in hell burning forever, I think they were just they're wrong. It just it doesn't really go with the Bible. Okay, now I said I believe the vision that Louis saw was correct. Yes. I think it was correct, but it's like we don't know exactly what that is. Okay, first of all, we don't know if it's true or false. I believe it's true. Second of all, we don't know if that was like how do you know if that was something that is actually happening now, or if it was just like a movie, a projection, a vision of something that's going to happen in the future. In fact, if you see in Luke 10:18, can you read it?
Okay. Luke 10:18.
Yeah.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Okay, so Jesus saw the devil falling from heaven. That's 2,000 years ago. Now, is the devil cast down? Has the devil been cast out from heaven yet? The answer is no.
But he saw 2,000 years ago.
He saw a vision. He saw projections. Okay, just like the apostle John, he saw New Jerusalem coming down, and he saw in the past. I saw. Coming down from heaven. He saw what? He saw a vision. New Jerusalem hasn't come down yet. In Revelation 12, for example, we see when the devil is really cast down from heaven. You see that if you can read the verse 7 until 9, you see when the devil is really cast down from heaven.
Revelation 12, from 7 to 9?
Yeah.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
So he was cast to the earth. Here is when the vision that Jesus saw actually is fulfilled chronologically. When in the future, keep reading, verse 14.
And I heard a loud voice. Sorry, this is 10.
No, 13 and 14.
13 and 14. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child.
Okay, that represents Eve, Mary, the church, and the bride of Christ. So you have to interpret, okay? I mean, not the church, most like the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So he persecutes the bride of Christ, yeah. 14.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
This is Hebrew for 3.5 years. You can verify in other parts of the Bible. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that when the devil saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which she is protected for the 3.5 years of tribulation. Tribulation which hasn't started yet. So the vision that Jesus saw was definitely for the future, in fact, for the tribulation. So this belief that he went to hell and he saw these people in the lake of fire, etc., which I believe was true vision. I think it was a projection of what's going to happen. people screaming in hell and burning, etc. Yeah, I believe it's going to happen. Only, I don't think they're going to be living there. I believe they will die and scream and die. Mm-hmm. And you only saw the part of the screaming, you understand? Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. Of course, I'm not going to be dogmatic, because I did another vision of Bill Weiss. Yeah. If you go on the internet and type on YouTube, Bill Weiss, 23 minutes in hell, you see the YouTube and everything. I believe that guy saw a true vision. But I also believe that the devil is jumping on the bandwagon and is having a lot of false visions given to people. And now there is a guy, he wrote one titled 23 Hours in Hell, you know, imitation. Mm-hmm. 9 hours in hell. You know, all the false prophets are jumping in. They're not false prophets because they're trying to deceive you. They are deceived by the angel of light, by devils who show vision of, you know, just like a saint, Holy Mary over here and there, a false vision. But if you talk to them, they are sincere. They'll die to say, I saw that. Definitely they saw that. But it was not from God, it was from the devil. Okay, again, I repeat, I'm not being dogmatic on this, on any of these things which are not in the Bible, okay?
Yeah, when Jesus says in Luke 10, when he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, doesn't he mean before the creation when Satan rebelled and he was cast out from the presence of God with his angels?
No, but the devil...
Because he says in the past, I beheld Satan as lightning.
Yeah, just like John saw in the past the New Jerusalem coming down. He saw a vision. Jesus was prophesying.
So it doesn't mean the rebelliousness of Satan and...
Rebelliousness, yes, but the devil is not cast out from heaven yet. In Revelation 12:7, said there was war in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that has not happened yet.
I understand.
You see, it says Michael and his angel fought, and the dragon and his angel demons fought, but the praise was not found in heaven, Revelation 12, and they were cast down onto the earth. If you see a parallel of this, Revelation 12, you find in Daniel 12, verse 1. You want to read it? Very interesting. Daniel 12.
Sure.
Very interesting scripture. And at that time, which time? The time of the chapter before, 11. Which time? The great tribulation. Okay. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands up for the people, for the children of thy people. Michael, Revelation 12, they say Michael. Understand?
Yes.
And there shall be a time of trouble such as was never ever seen since there was a nation even to the same time. You know, like Jesus said that in Matthew 24, 21 and 22. So it shall be great tribulation like never before. He said, talking about the tribulations. And at that time, which time? The tribulation, at the end of the tribulation. Shall thy people be delivered? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Rapture. Blessed is he who is part of the first resurrection, rapture. Understand? At that time, see, Michael stands up. When? The great tribulation, the end time. So the timing and the chronology of Revelation 12, when there is war in heaven between Michael and the devil, Archangel Michael, God bless him, it's at the end time. You see, this Daniel 12:1 is another confirmation. Questions?
I understand. No, I understand. Also, it says in Revelation 12 that as soon as he gets cast down, he starts
persecutes the woman, and she's hidden for 3.5 years of the tribulation. This happens at the great tribulation.
You
got that?
It's clear. Thank
praise,
you.
Praise the Lord.
And then the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist are thrown into the lake of fire. That means it's the same, like all the humans, only their carcasses will be there. And
no, not the devil, the Antichrist. It says the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire.
And later the devil as well.
Yeah, after 1,000 years.
Yes, and that means only the carcasses that's going to be there? They disappear in existence?
I have no idea. The person I think is the carcasses,
mm-hmm.
personally. Because God, they tell you, would you're not God, but would you like to see a guy screaming for a thousand, a million years?
Not
is that inspiring?
No.
I mean, sometimes by accident, I open some web pages of Satanism and the yell and scream of demon possessed people, immediately just shut it off and just, rebuke it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit there and listen to demons screaming. I mean, it's like, I think he's talking about the carcasses. In fact, Isaiah 66, verse 24, That's what he says, carcasses, very clearly. You know? I mean, the carcass is bad enough. Just like if you burn an old pair of boots, you know, just burn them. Just a carcass, keep burning. But it's a lesson, you understand? Because there are angels in heaven who are not redeemed like we are, understand? And they can fall like Satan. They can still fall, understand?
Yes.
And we are redeemed. We cannot lose salvation because we are redeemed. But there are angels in heaven, they could fall like Satan did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the angels in heaven are not saved. You know, they're just born with eternal life. But just like the devil and his demons, if they rebel, they can fall like the devil. Only we have been redeemed by Jesus, and we cannot fall anymore because we belong to Jesus. Understand? Like, thank God for that. You know, incidentally, this way Christians say that some church, some preachers preach that you can renounce your salvation. Well, I don't think it's possible. Because if say in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, it says we were bought with a price. You were bought with a price, so glorify God. You're bought with a price, and you don't belong to yourself. So you can renounce something that is yours, but if your life belongs to Christ, you cannot renounce it. You cannot renounce my money. It's mine. It's not yours.
Amen.
You cannot renounce my car. I can renounce, not you. You cannot renounce. You cannot take my shoes and say, I decide to forsake your shoes, my brother. You cannot renounce, though. Can I renounce your, well, I don't know how much money I have in your pocket. Probably not much. You're a missionary. Can I renounce your money? I'm so good. I decided to forsake all for Jesus, even the last coins here. I can renounce my. So you cannot renounce your soul. You know, but when you're saved, like it says in John 10:28, I give eternal life, they shall never perish, and neither shall any man cast them out of my hands. It doesn't say your hands. It's that your soul is too precious. God is not, look how many people commit suicide. They get discouraged, they kill themselves. That is not going to be possible in heaven. You cannot kill yourself. I have 6 children. Imagine one child, give a punishment, gets discouraged and kills himself. How terrible. So God made it in a way that you cannot kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world should God give you this freedom? That's what the mystery of the tree of good and evil in the Garden of Eden is for. Eden. It was to test, to prove. And if they passed the test, great. If they didn't pass it, then still there would have been redemption. Amen?
Mm-hmm.